Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast. Hello and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm Sherry.
And I'm David.
And we are continuing on our new and improved version of the Steps to Recovery that comes from way back at the very, very, very beginning of our starting this podcast.
Yes.
So we are redoing those. We have a lot of new good steps and information and are really excited to share those with you. So we're working on the offending or addicted partner, and we've already talked about honesty, empathy, sobriety, understanding addiction, and getting support.
Yes.
And those are the first steps that you definitely need to have. So if you have not listened to that episode, please go back and hit those, because there are some really important steps to have, and they're the most important as we're working through these steps to recovery.
And I can't emphasize enough that I feel very confident if you were to work these steps seriously, sincerely, you would be in a very good place. And so if you want, everybody wants kind of a simple, this isn't a fix it quick thing or anything, but if you want a simple guide, what should I be doing? What can I do? I hear this all the time. These steps can be a really good guide. Now, obviously each step, there's a lot of information and a lot of stuff, but just to have something that this is what I should be working on can be really helpful.
For sure.
So we got to number six. Number six for the addict is recognition and remorse. In other words, own your stuff. Yes. Everybody understands the need for this when you've been hurt in a relationship and you want to rebuild or they want to rebuild. Mm-hmm. If there's not ownership and accountability for what's happened, it's like impossible. So you've got to own your stuff and not sometimes. Yes. As best you can, always.
Always, always.
So there needs to be recognition of the hurt you've caused, not minimizing or justifying or partial remorse that kind of vacillates between remorse and anger or blame or shame.
Yes.
Like, you really want to own this all the time. Total accountability. And we've talked already about this, but learn to feel and show empathy.
Right.
For your partner and for yourself, definitely, but for them.
So if you haven't done that remorse and you recognition and whatever, it becomes then harder to show empathy.
Right.
Because you're not actually fully accepting and are willing to say, hey, this is what I did. And that's a really, really key, important part of repairing relationship. With people who have been hurt by your actions. And that isn't always a spouse.
Right.
Or it doesn't always only include your spouse. Right. That could include other people in your life that have been harmed by what you've been doing.
Right. And you know, this is true, because if you think about someone who has hurt you, the only way you would be close to them again is some level of recognition and remorse. It would not work for them to be like, well, sorry, anyway, there's just no way. You would love them, but you wouldn't trust them and you wouldn't be close. You would not be seeking a relationship. So think about, okay, I know you've heard this and it's kind of cliche, but if what I had done to them, they had done to me, what would I need to feel good again with them?
Right.
And that's a pretty good guide.
Yes. I like that you're adding that, because I think a lot of times I see, oh, well, I'm sorry. Like, I see that. I did that. I'm wrong. Sorry. Let's move on.
Can we move on now?
Yes. Yes.
Like, would you accept that from somebody that's really hurt you? You'd be like, nice try. Okay.
Like, you kind of chopped my arm off back there. Yeah. And just sorry. Or just like, hey, I recognize it. And
I understand. I understand.
I understand. And I feel bad. Let's move on. Yes. Right. So I think, I loved what you said about, okay, think about what you would need in order to feel safe and secure and loving and connected again to someone who had hurt you deeply.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things that you're going to need to do as part of that recognition and remorse and making amends. And empathy is part of that.
And really take the time to ponder and reflect and contemplate all these things. There's got to be just a stillness, a quietness about allowing this information to settle so that you receive ideas and inspiration about what will help.
Right. And I think that, recognition and remorse and repair, right? And amends or repair, or if we want to make it a nice alliteration. But it's not just going, oh, yep, that's me. I did that thing, sure. Let's move on. But it encompasses the empathy, encompasses the making amends, making repairs around what's happened.
Yep.
So number 7 is purpose.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Just purpose and vision and...
Yes.
Meaning in life.
It's interesting because I don't know that a lot of people would just automatically come up with this as part of, I want to get rid of this addiction that I have. Having a purpose in life is maybe something you wouldn't necessarily
think of right away. Right. And what's interesting about that is when we do research on pornography addiction specifically, of all the factors that we can identify, what those who have pornography addiction have in common the most is meaninglessness. You think about meaninglessness, why is that connected to addiction? Well, it starts to make sense.
Yes.
And so, guess what? If we're trying to overcome addiction,
we've got to create meaning and purpose in our lives. Yep. Yes. Yeah. So discovering your purpose, discovering your mission in life, what your values are, what changes need to happen in your time and your pursuits to be able to feed into that space of having meaning and purpose.
Right.
And having a mission into your life. Like, what am I here specifically on this blue, green earth to do?
Yeah, pretty important. And it's a good question to ask yourself. So why recover it all? What difference does it make? Like, you really, really need to attach to something inside of you that is calling you forward to this highest and best self, this life where, you know, all the time I'll say, well, if you imagine you on your deathbed toward the end of your life and who's there and what matters and what you could have done more, what would those things be? And that's usually a pretty good way to determine what your purpose is.
Yeah.
But again, take time to really think on all this. And that will add to the motivation, the drive to really do what you need to do here.
Yeah. I think both of those questions are great. Why recover it all? And if you're on your deathbed, what would have been the important things or what you should have done more of?
Yeah. You know, if this was literally the last day, the last week of your life, what would you do? What would you do? Would you be binging Netflix? Like, probably not. You're going to be spending time with people that matter. And so use that to figure out who you are, even if you don't feel like you've done a very good job of it.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, this is moving forward.
Right.
That's my goal, my purpose moving forward, for sure. And I think as part of that, strengthening your connection to your higher power and building your sense of self-worth is going to be a really key part of understanding your purpose.
Yes. Okay, number 8.
We're getting through this list.
We're getting through this list. Number 8 is learning. You must make time for learning and studying that helps you to understand yourself and your partner and their feelings. In other words, you right. want to take the approach that there's a lot I don't know. And I give right. myself permission to not know everything and to sort of be on this quest to find what will help. And yes. I'm going to start to be hungry and thirsty for all these things that are going to help me and my partner. And this will right. include, hopefully, new skills, new talents, new abilities.
Mm-hmm.
A really good example of this is empathy. All the time I hear guys say, well, this is what I think will help. And I liken it to tools and a tool belt. Yeah, you have a tool that will do that. This isn't something you can't fix. You just need a different tool. And empathy now is another tool. And yes. so maybe this is a new skill or a new talent that you develop. But you won't regret it. And now it just means that you have more tools.
Yes.
Which guys love anyway. There's more tools. So now this situation with your teenage daughter who's crying and you're like, I don't understand what the big deal is and just don't talk to him anymore. Now you yeah. have some more tools.
Yes. And you can show up and be there. Yes. And this is learning about yourself, about things that are under the surface in your own life. It's about addiction, learning about addiction and how that shows up for you and what's going on with that. It is about your partner and what it feels like and looks like to be betrayed and what that experience would be like and how you can show up better for her. It's about relationship yeah. things. How do we communicate better? How do we have empathy better for each other? How do we build a better relationship? How do I parent my kids better, right? This is yep. like learning about how I can show up better in the world. And I think a lot of times, at least for me with clients, I see a lot of very individual things that are, if they're doing learning or if they're jumping into learning, a lot of times it's like this is how I can show up better just for me. So I want to make sure we're emphasizing like the 5 a.m. club or, you know, different books like that, that they'll be like, oh, I'm super into this and I'm super, you know, learning some of these key steps to how to show up better just for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really important to also be doing the work on learning about relationship, how I can show up right. in a relationship better
yep.
and how it feels for my partner to be experiencing this and how I can show up better for my partner.
Right.
So make sure that you're incorporating that into the learning that you're doing.
Yes.
And as that means that you're going to have to work to eliminate distractions in your life and time-wasting activities, which, I mean, that's something that all of us probably need to do in our lives.
Yeah, right.
Right. But it's going to have to be a priority
right.
that you're making.
Right.
Because, I mean, once you incorporate all 12 steps here, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff to be doing. You don't have a lot of time to dilly-dally.
Yep. You really don't. And it's not that you can't have downtime, but you're prioritizing taking the beginning of that downtime to do self-care. And if that mm-hmm. is more time, that's okay. You'll still have downtime, but we're not going right to that as if we're not on some journey. Because we kind of are, and we've got yes. to act like it.
Yes, absolutely. Need to act like we're, yes, on a quest. So number 9 is processing through stored pain and trauma. Oh, this is huge. This is, I feel yeah. like, required to really fully recover.
Right, right.
You can't just try to do a Band-Aid. Okay, I'm not going to do this addiction anymore. I'm going to white knuckle it through.
Right. And I've got all this unprocessed stuff behind it. Well, I wonder how far you're going to get, right?
Yes. Yes. And if we see this, like, for example, if you go to AA meetings or something like that, people are working on their AA sobriety and out the back door during breaks, they're all smoking. Right? This is an example of, okay, we haven't worked through our processed and processed through your stored pain and trauma.
Right.
Because you're just sort of addiction hopping. And what right. we don't want is for you to really work hard and try to get sober in this area and then end up, overeating or, using other things to numb what's going on under the surface.
And maybe this step, more than any other, honestly, is why you cannot do this alone. If I come up to you and say, hey, maybe you need to process some stored trauma, what would you do with that?
Right.
How do you do that? Where would you go in your mind? Oh, yeah, no big deal. I can do that tonight before the game. Like, this is where you just need help. That's okay that you need help. I mean, your average person is not going to have done a lot of research or study into this kind of thing.
Right.
Even if you've read, books or, The Body Keeps the Score, you still need to go in and do things, and you're probably going to need help. And so be open to that. Processing this stored pain and trauma, you're going to need help, and that's okay.
Yeah. You have to learn what's going on underneath.
Right.
And what's driving your search for love and acceptance, where the pain and shame are, what is causing those things, processing the deeper hurts that show up. You've got to go through the process of doing all of that. And the beautiful thing is there are a lot of really great tools out there to help you in therapy.
Yep.
Things that didn't exist 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And so we have, we have EMDR now, we have ART now, we have IFS, internal family system. I guess maybe we should be not just throwing out acronyms and actually seeing what all of these are.
Right? Unless you're a longtime listener and then you already know all this.
Yes. Yes. ART is accelerated resolution therapy. It is rapid eye movement treatment. EMDR. Help me with this one. I always forget the acronym.
Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Yes, yes. And like, is eye movement? And then, yes. So
EMDR, it just sounds good though.
EMDR, yes. It sounds cool. Again, that's also an eye movement treatment. IFS is internal family systems. It's another way to help process a lot of the underlying trauma wounds and things like that. So
just accept that this has got to be part of the journey.
Yes.
Even though that's the part that may be the scariest, fair enough. And that's why we get help.
Right. But it is so nice. I mean, can you imagine just not having a lot of that stuff under the surface?
Right. Yep. And you would feel very differently.
Right. And you'd show up in your life differently. I think sometimes I think I do get clients sometimes that are like, oh, well, I don't have any of that stuff. And then, if that's where you're at, okay, that's also fine. And likely you're not showing up with an addiction if there isn't something else under the surface.
Right. Even if it's just a pattern of not managing emotions well, okay, let's figure that out.
Yes. Yes.
So
really, really critical.
That's a biggie.
Yep.
Number 9, number 10, you see how all of these could be a lot, but number 10, we're getting close, out of 12. Better managing toxic relationships in your life. This is something that we overlook. We're working on overcoming addiction. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things going on in relationships, likely with parents or a spouse or somebody, that is really, really hard. And you've got to recognize when and what relationships are hurting you, and boundaries. We create boundaries to better protect you. Mm-hmm. So we don't talk enough about these unhealthy relationships and their contributions to a continued addictive cycle.
I think this fits really well with number 9, with processing the stored pain and trauma. But if you can imagine going into like a very wounded part of your body, like it's cut open and it's really wounded, and we want to heal that, but also you've got to set boundaries around relationships that are causing those wounds.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And sometimes with some people, that's as easy as being able to like talk about that. Feels hard, but it's as simple as talking about it. And the other person is like, oh, you're right. I'm not showing up in that way very well. And you're able, or I didn't when you were 3, I didn't show up that way very well. And I'm so sorry. And you're able to do repairs fairly quickly. And in that way, then you may not need as many or as strong of boundaries in that situation. But in other situations, there may be a lot more that needs to happen. And if someone is unwilling or unable to see clearly their part and be able to show up in helpful, healing ways, then those are the spaces when you're going to need boundaries.
Right.
To say, hey, I love you a lot. And also, just like David was saying earlier, I can't be as close with you.
Right.
We just can't have as close and connected a relationship, you know, if you can't also show up in a healthy way with me.
Definitely important.
Number 11. Are we ready? Do the work of recovery. Do the work. Do the work. Do the work.
You mean it works if you work it?
Yes. Yes. Which, of course, is going to include most of the things that we've already talked about.
Right.
But a big one, I think, is dailies. Doing a routine, sticking to it, right? It's hard to remember to do all of the things. I mean, we've got 12 steps here.
Right, right.
Right? Plus many other things that are going to help you as subcategories in those steps. And so giving yourself a routine is huge and sticking to it. Routine that includes journaling, it includes affirmations, you know, it probably will include some like exercise and connecting with your program and recovery program of groups and reaching out to your sponsor, you know.
Which sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but if you've come this far and you haven't figured this out yet, recovery is a lifestyle change. Yes. And if you think it's anything less, you better rethink the whole thing right now.
Right.
This is a process of becoming your highest and best self. This isn't half-assed. Mm-hmm. This isn't a little bit of effort. This isn't, I'm going to do a little bit more than I usually do. None of that. This has got to be, you're all in and you're committed. So bottom line, commit to a lifestyle change that means you're doing the work of recovery and you're glad to be doing it. Not that it's easy. But when did easy have anything to do with anything of value, right? So you've accomplished a lot in your life that wasn't easy, and you're glad you did. This is going to be the ultimate, I'm glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
So put the energy, the effort into it. Do it no matter the cost.
Yes, just do it. And I think, and again, if you haven't made this connection as well, that it's a lifestyle change, that it is... it's the way that you would get there anyway, to be your best and highest self.
Right.
Like all these things we're doing are not like, okay, you're a horrible person that has an addiction and addicts have to do this to become their best self. Everybody has to do these things to become their best self.
Right.
Everybody who is being their best self is going to be journaling, is going to be processing through past trauma and pain. They're going to be doing dailies that are effective and useful for them. They're going to be incorporating ways that they are learning, ooh, this is something I don't do super well. They're going to be learning about that and how to show up better in relationship with other people. They're going to have a purpose. They're going to recognize when they're not showing up well and have remorse over that. They're going to own their own stuff. They're going to be empathetic. They're going to make amends. This is all of those things, right? So it's not like, I'm an addict, and because I am an addict and I'm terrible, I have to now do all of these things for the rest of my life. This is just 2.0 living for anybody.
Right.
Yep. You might have a few extra pieces that are related specifically to the struggles that you have. But guess what? Somebody else is going to have specific pieces that are related to their specific struggles.
Yep.
So if it feels like a lot, it is, but it's also, this is your path to being your highest and best self. And somebody else is going to have a path that looks extremely similar, that has some extra little pieces that are just theirs.
Yep. So commit to the work. If you haven't already, go all in. It will not be wasted at all.
Yes. Last step.
Last step.
Patience.
Oh, patience. I'm terrible with patience. This is for me. This is my last step. Patience. So hopefully you hear early on in the process, whatever you think this is going to take, it's going to be a lot longer than that.
Yes.
And by the way, it's your whole life. We just soften
it
up. And
it's forever.
And forever.
Endure to the end.
But guess what? That's okay.
It's okay.
So very important things to avoid. Pressure. Do not pressure yourself or your partner to get over it. Forget about it. Move on. Forgive.
Yeah.
Not that like these aren't good things, but that's not how they work.
Yeah.
They don't work by being told, move on, forget about it, just forgive.
Just like you would hope that your partner isn't saying to you, like,
right,
this is it. Like, yeah, you better not ever.
You better not even lust after another woman. And you're like, okay,
yes,
I don't even know if
never,
my brain.
Yeah. It is a process.
Yep.
It's a process. It is definitely some, like, yes, of course, that is a great goal. Like, all these things are great goals. We want to get to these points, but pushing it, forcing it is not the way to get there.
Right.
Having some loving, kind patience, it will get you there for yourself, for other people.
Yes.
For your partner. So, hope. Choose hope.
Choose. That's intentional, by the way.
Yes. Choose hope that your needs can be met in this relationship, even if they haven't been before. And of course, that's for both of you, but it is. Sometimes we forget that the addict is probably also has some things that aren't being met. And no, it's not always like sex. There are also other things that can be a part of this process too. And ways that as you both learn and grow together, that you can show up better for each other through this process.
Right.
So as we look at this, again, we've kind of wrapped it all together. I feel like a couple steps too early in just saying, this is a lifestyle change.
This is a lot, yeah.
It is a lot. And also, it's not because it's becoming. It's a complete change.
It's just bigger than you might think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be bigger than you think it is.
Right.
So,
because that's why you haven't been able to do it yet.
Right. Right.
Right. Because it's bigger. It involves more. And it's a change that will affect your whole life for the rest of your life.
Yep. But it is awesome.
Yes.
It's the best work you'll ever do.
Right. Like, yep. This is where we all, hopefully, if we don't have addictions, we choose this for ourselves anyway. Right.
Right.
So it's just part of this beautiful process of becoming your best self.
So I guarantee if you do these steps, you will feel much, much better. And those around you who you've impacted will notice and you will not regret it.
For sure.
Just in case, Kay, betrayed partners, we got you.
Yes.
Next episode, we're going to get into 12 steps for the
betrayed
partner. So
join us. And
it's going to be really good. So
tell you about
please
those.
Join us.
Okay.
See you next time.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.